Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men Podcast. I'm Steve Hoare, joined this week by Dan Clubb and Sam Walker to talk about the shit show that was the Champions League draw. We've got a bit of Jude Bellingham reaction as well after Liverpool were linked with him, and tons more of good Red Men mirth. But before we start all that, lads, firstly, welcome. I'm going to get you warmed up with a couple of kick-off questions. Sometimes on the old kick-off questions, we go non-football related, but I picked two footy ones today. I thought we'll stick on the theme. Sometimes a lot of people give me stick, to be honest. do you know why you're talking about these type of things for? Well, yeah, I'm going to go football-themed. Won't go too much in these, Dan, I'll come to you first. Then first one's from Box to Box, who says, would you take Gini Wijnaldum back on loan? Now, I'm guessing this means the reports came out of front that he could be available as early as January for a loan deal for the end of the season. Arsenal were linked with him. All the best, Genie. I don't know why he'd do that. But if the opportunity was there for Liverpool to take him, would you get him, or would you give it a miss?
I personally would, yeah. Obviously, he was a fantastic servant to the club. I don't think anyone appreciated the way it all came to an end. But we're only a few weeks out of being in a bit of a midfield injury crisis. Like, things are looking rosy at the minute. We've got Thiago, Fabinho and Henderson playing regularly. That's fantastic. But about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were really scratching around. If you look at the Brighton game, second half in particular, that was a makeshift midfield. So we all know he's durable and he's experienced and he's won a lot with us. So for 6 months, with wages maybe supplemented, definitely, yeah.
Sam, I suppose the flip side is, when everyone's fit, I think Liverpool's midfield now is better than it was last season. They're certainly more progressive. We're a better attacking team. But Henderson and Thiago, who you'd class as the first choice, are getting on the score sheet a bit. They're a bit more forward thinking than Gini was. The flip side is, like Dan says, games are about to come thick and fast. January onwards, it's not going to stop, especially if Liverpool advance in the Champions League, like we hope they do. And there's the arguments for and against. And then also the fact that he left in not like amazing circumstances. I don't think he was particularly thrilled how it all went. But if Genie's agent gets on the phone on December 31st and says, I'd love to come back on loan, PSG are letting me do it, can I come back? What's your answer there?
Personally, I'm never one to sort of go backwards. Like Robbie Fowler, yeah, all right, fair enough. But like when we got Bellamy the second time, I was quite flabbergasted by that. But you know, we move forward as a club, we're in a different time now. I was one of them who was like happy to shake his hand in the summer and say, you've been a legend. But I thought his biggest asset is that he's fit. I look at what we're doing now as a team. I've read a few things the last few days about how we're playing slightly more 4-2-2-2, slightly more 4-4-2 at times. And I just think that the shape of this team with the kind of midfielders that we've got available to us now is changing direction from what Gini was about. I would prefer to see him, you know, do well at PSG or go somewhere else and maintain what he did. I wouldn't want him to come to Liverpool and be fifth choice. You know, Harvey Elliott might come back and you know, blast into the team again, and suddenly Genie's on 200 grand a week on the bench or whatever it would be. I don't know, you know what I mean? But yeah, I'm more always to the side of thanks but no thanks on that one.
I suppose though, Dan, you mentioned the injuries there, and we've got, I know AFCON's a different position, but if Liverpool are thinking, well, maybe we're going to use Harvey Elliott as he comes back in January, he becomes a forward option, or Oxlade-Chamberlain becomes a forward option, then you could be, like say, you could almost cover Mane and Salah's absence by signing the midfielder and pushing one of those. In that case, it would make a bit more sense.
100%, yeah. And obviously, throw Keita into that mix as well. Not only is he injury prone, as we've all unfortunately seen, he goes to AFCON as well.
Yeah.
So Thiago, unfortunately, absolutely loving to pieces, wonderful footballer, has had injuries as well. So, you know, we don't quite know what's going to happen. And like I touched upon just a few weeks ago, we really were scratching around. So like we mentioned there, Wijnaldum's always fit. And we get to them latter stages of the Champions League. He's dependable. He'll be there. Listen, it's not ideal. I completely understand everything Sam says. I don't like bringing players back, but we know we've got a quality player there who's kind of been wasted in France a little bit.
He's been wasted.
I suppose we don't want to go too much into it. It's only a kick-off question, but I suppose that's the flip side, isn't it? Grass isn't always greener, Sam. Maybe he's finding that out now a little bit.
I mean, I don't think he wanted PSG either, to be honest. I don't think anybody quite realised that much.
Barcelona as well, wasn't
it? And I don't think anybody, including him and his agent, realised just how crazy the messy situation was. Mm. And we can go into that, can't we? But, you know, and then he's ended up there. Listen, if he stays there, he wins a league title, probably a cup. And I still think they're a dangerous threat in the Champions League.
Yeah,
you know?
100%.
So
they've got an easy draw. We're going to get on that in a minute.
So like, but I just think for him, he should stay there and force a hand. I mean, he got a late equaliser the other day for them. You know, he's still the 12th or 13th man. And we know what Verratti's like. God, he's like Naby Keita over there. He's never fit, is he? No. So I think he probably gets his game. Yeah, I completely see it. If he came in and we went on and smashed it, won one or two major trophies, he'd be like, amazing. What a turnaround. But I say it's a personal choice, isn't it?
I'll go to a few comments in the chat then. So Perry says, I bring Genie back only if we don't have to play him, because sometimes with loans you have to agree to sit him. Which is a good point. Trig Josh says, maybe having Genie back might upset the plans that that Klopp and FSG have for signings in January. Again, maybe so. We're going to talk about one of those potentially later as well. And then also, Kev Wright kind of agrees with what you say, Sam. He says, as much as I love Genie, I think once a player goes, he shouldn't come back. We should always be looking forward and bringing a player that brings something new to the team rather than looking in the rearview mirror. Right, then, next question from Peter Cinnamon, who says, do you think Mo Salah can score 30-plus Premier League goals this season, Sam, even though he's going to miss games due to the AFCON? So it's a big ask, and he's on, I think it's 14 he's on at the moment, so you're looking at 16 more goals. There's plenty of games for him to do it in. Again, we don't know exactly how many he's going to miss for AFCON, but it's mad that's even a conversation, but it is an actual realistic question. He could still do it.
Well, you know, there's only two Premier League games this season where Mo hasn't got a goal and assist, and you'll remember in these games what happened as well. Brighton. Do you remember what happened to Brighton? He scored offside.
Offside, yeah.
Burnley. Same. He scored offside. The guy is absolute fire right now. And I just think to myself, there's absolutely nothing he can't do. Listen, would you put your money on AFCON being on? Would you put your money on Liverpool going, we've got a couple of COVID cases, we're playing Brentford at home, we'll have that game rescheduled in March when the boys are back. You know, what's going on now? You just don't know, do you? So, I'd put money on it. If you said to me, it's 20 quid, put on a bet, I'd bang it on that bet.
As it stands, Dan, Liverpool have got 22 Premier League games left at time recording. AFCON, depending on how early he goes, Liverpool still want him to go and play the Chelsea game and then go, in which case he misses two, maybe three league games. So let's say he's got 18 games left and he needs 16 goals. I mean, the math says he's going to get there if he carries on this form, doesn't it? It makes sense. He definitely, like, he got 32 goals, didn't he, in his first season, pretty much played every single game there. I think it was one. It's on the cards.
Oh, it's massively on the cards. The form he's in right now, if it wasn't for AFCON and potentially missing a few games, you'd almost back him to have it done by the end of February. His form is ridiculous, especially when you look at some of the fixtures. The more difficult fixtures tend to come towards the back end of the season when we play City again and what have you. But between like now and then, obviously we've got Newcastle Thursday. It only takes a couple of hat-tricks, which sounds, you know, like I'm almost brushing it off as easy, but it's
just a few Premier League hat-tricks.
But for him, it seems to be the case, you know what I mean? The man's ridiculous. Obviously, he's on penalties as well, which helps.
Yeah, it does.
But the man's ridiculous. He's scoring all kinds of goals, so there's absolutely no reason. And when you throw into his assists in the mix as well, which have been absolutely through the roof, I think he's topping both assists and goals in the Premier League.
Miles ahead.
Which is just silly, you know what I mean? Like, when Harry Kane did that, I think it was last season, everyone was waxing Liverpool, but this guy, Salah, is making that record look silly right now.
Yeah, he got 32 and 36 in his first season, and he's better now than he was then. The flip side is, can he play those? Is he going to play 36 games? As it stands right now, he's played 16 league games.
He's played every game.
So if he misses, I think if he misses four for AFCON, and even if he plays 30 games, or missed 8 games, you could back him to scoring a goal a game. Like, I don't think it's unrealistic, which just shows the level of player he's at. Sam, he's a superstar.
Oh, massively. The only thing that goes against him in comparison to that year is that in 17-18, everyone just believed it was going to stop. Oh, he can't keep scoring like that. Oh, yeah, we'll just go 1v1, leave the left back on him. Whereas now it's like, I mean, the game against Villa, Gerrard had like four markers. And unfortunately, we didn't score the goals on the other side, but that's the only thing you're getting with him now, is he's taken that many players out the game. And we might score through Jota and Mane, etc., but he might just get a little bit more attention to maybe stop him getting those goals in those games. But flip side of that is, like you said, you know, look at what happened at Old Trafford. Once a game gets opened up, Mo Salah will cut you in half.
The best laid plans and all that, but like I say, he still got his goal against... the reason he gets to the goal, I know people like sometimes disparage penalties as a goal with that, but he literally skips around their best player. Yeah. I thought Mings was amazing in that game. He was heading, blocking, tackling everything. Mm. And Salah, he needs one moment, though, either way, and he gets himself on. I agree. I think that... Let's go to the comments there. So we've got... Adrano says Salah could potentially get 30 goals and 20 assists in the league this season, and which is, again, it's outrageous to think about it.
What's the combined record? Because he's on 30 now, isn't he?
It was the Bruno, wasn't it? And Kane had it a while.
Yeah, I think Kane. That'd have to be the highest, though, wouldn't it? 30 and 20.
I think Henry had some silly record at one point, didn't he, as well?
And then Unknown Strange says he's guaranteed to score 40 plus goals in all comps this season if he goes well. He can easily get 50 plus 25 assists. And again, in all comps so far this season, he's already on his 21 goals and he's already on his 9 assists. So yeah, like you say, 30. There's nothing out of reach for this fella, like, especially if Liverpool go far in Europe and in the cups. Like, at some point he'll be playing those cup games as well, depending on how we all go there. But yeah, I think it's mad that you could even say he's going to be a 30 goal player. I mean, we know for a fact, again, AFCON permitting actually happening. Mm. As it stands, he's not actually going to be available, and we're all quite confident of it. I think that's absolutely absurd, really. Right, guys, we actually did some football kick-off questions. I hope all you lot have been tweeting and moaning at me in the comments. We're happy with that one. Before we get into our reaction to the whole Champions League draw, who got screwed, who's happy that there was a redraw and everything in the middle, how it happened in the first place, going to take a quick break to give you guys a little bit of an update on our Advent draw. So every day between December 1st and December 25th this year, we are doing a live prize draw on one of our shows or on the socials for our Club Legends subscribers over on Red Men Plus. Got some amazing prizes to give away, but to tell you more about it, I'm going to hand over to some very, very handsome chap who's going to give you some more information about it. Hey guys, Steve here with some excellent news for you. Usually throughout the year, we do a monthly draw for all our amazing Club Legend subscribers. Well, in the month of December, it's the festive period and we're feeling kind, we're feeling giving. So what we're going to be doing every single day from December 1st right up until Christmas Day is a daily draw for all our Club Legend subscribers. We've got some amazing prizes to give away as well. We're going to go through those shortly, but what we're going to do is show you how you guys can make sure your name is in the hat to win some of these amazing gifts and prizes. So if you are not a subscriber to Red Men Plus, if you want to go and join now, it's very, very simple. Go to the Red Men TV website, you click the button that says join us, from there sign up, join as a Club Legend, either on a monthly subscription or as a yearly subscription, and you guys will automatically be entered into every single one of these prize draws. If you are one of our Club Captain subscribers and you want to upgrade your account to become a Club Legend, very, very simple how you do that from the homepage. You click the My Account button and follow the steps there to upgrade, again, either a monthly or a yearly subscription. Very, very simple. So what amazing prizes have you got, I hear you ask? Well, let me tell you that. We've got a book from Mona Nemba, the Liverpool's head of nutrition. We've got a signed picture of Michael Owen. We've got a Hendo 10 box full of goodies. We've got DVDs. We've got socks. We've got a signed author's edition of our Hendo 10 book. We've got a signed medal signed by former Liverpool striker Michael Owen. We've got our new DVD, Let's Talk About Six. We've got calendars. We've got a signed picture from Liverpool captain Jordan Henderson. We've got every single one of our new Christmas sweaters. You can see them behind me here. All of them, they are flying out of the store. But you can get one for free if you enter this draw. And then the big one on Christmas Day, saving the best to last. Look at this beauty. It's a framed signed shirt by none other than the king, Sir Kenny Dalglish. What a prize that is. And all you guys have to do to be in the draws is be a Club Legend subscriber. So sign up at the Red Men TV as a Club Legend. You'll be in the draw. If you're a club captain now, upgrade your subscription to Club Legend and you too will be in the draw. 25 of these draws will be happening through the month of December. Make sure you're in it. Yeah, so there you go. If you want to be involved in all of those draws, it's very, very simple. All you got to do is go head on over to theredmentv.com, become a subscriber to Redmen Plus on the Club Legend tier, and you'll be in the draws. If you are a club captain subscriber already, and if you want to be in the draws, all you've got to do is upgrade your account to become a Club Legend. Very, very, very simple. And you'll be, again, Christmas Day the star prizes, that signed King Kenny shirt. So get yourselves involved if you want to. Right, guys, I want to talk to you about this Champions League draw fiasco, because, I mean, that's the only way we can describe it. We felt the brunt of it in studio. We had to do two live shows. We had to wind Chris Page up twice. We have to. He's so energetic over there on the board. And then he kind of shot his load a bit, and we had to go and let him lay down to go again. It messed up our plans. We had shows to go. Imagine the whole world was like, oh, my God. First of all, Sam, it's not a surprise that they can be incompetent, is it? Like UEFA, like, but the levels of not being able to pick the right ball out of the right pot with the right names in it, it's just beyond belief. It's a joke, really. I know they blame the computer telling them which balls can and can't be picked. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to say, I know that he's just said Villarreal, therefore I know in my head it cannot be Manchester United, it cannot be Real Madrid. Like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out.
There's like three or four of them on the mics in the ears as well. There's no excuse for it. As a technologist, to blame the AI, it's disgusting. They should apologise for that, to be honest. It was blatantly a human error. I didn't actually see it live. I caught the end of the draw when United got left with PSG, and I was laughing, texting all my mates, my new fans, and then next minute, that was a disgrace. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Obviously then find out what happened. But listen, it was a mistake. It was stupid. Shouldn't have happened. But can we just say this? I don't know what you boys think about this. Why can't we play English teams? I get it. You shouldn't be able to play the team from your group. No. That's what you earn. So we don't play Atleti, but we should be able to play anybody else. It's Europe, you know. That's what it is.
Yeah, I 100%. You've skipped me ahead. Let's go for it. No, Sam, you've saved me a job of trying to figure out a way to introduce that topic. Yeah. But Dan, I get that you shouldn't play the team in your group, because like no one wants to see the same teams playing the same teams. That's not the point of the Champions League. If it was, we'd have invented some type of Super League that's what that would have been. But I agree. I think the country protection, I get why they do it, by the way, and it's all about the ding dong money, because they don't want
to see that.
Well, basically, rather than selling BT know when they make the bid for the Champions League, they're going to get, if four English teams get through, they're going to get four different games with the English, and they're going to do their best to make sure one's on the 15th, one's on the 16th, one's on the 22nd, one's on the 23rd. That's what they're going to want to try and do. So I get it. But from an integrity of the competition thing, I think it's nonsense. Like, the fact that Liverpool at the end there were left where they literally couldn't get Villarreal, even though Villarreal were a perfectly legitimate opportunity for Liverpool to play, because of the fact that it was Inter and Real were left, and Juventus, and it was PSG, wasn't it? Again, it was the other one. Liverpool literally, Villarreal was off the table. That should never really happen, I don't think. It's a strange one.
It definitely is a strange one, and I think it left half of Twitter wondering why we couldn't get Villarreal, but including myself, by the way, happy to admit that as well, because I just didn't understand why we couldn't, but obviously the country thing comes into it. And I think it is a little bit outdated now, that, and I think they are making a lot of changes to Champions League, including scrapping away goals as well this season.
Yeah.
And I think that country situation could be the next one that gets binned off, perhaps because of the confusion yesterday, because it was chaos. Like, Andre Arshavin, he looked absolutely...
He
looked lost, though, didn't he? Let's have it right. And it was obvious from the outset, wasn't it? Because obviously the fella picked up on the fact that United couldn't get Villarreal. That was fine. But then he was put the ball back on the table, and you think, nah, that can't be right. That's got to go somewhere else. You know what I mean? So it was just carnage, wasn't it, to watch. Yeah. And like you say, it messed up my day having to do two reactions to it as well. But yeah, it's one of them things. But in terms of the countries, I think we are probably at the end of the road whereby that can be a legitimate thing now.
I agree in terms of integrity of the competition. The reason, again, Sam, I don't think it's going to happen is the money. The Champions League exists solely as a money-making opportunity for everyone involved, UEFA and all the clubs. If the TV companies say we like it, because the last thing that the Spanish TV, again, I know Barcelona aren't it now, but if Barcelona ever get back to it, which I'm sure they will at some point, they don't want Real and Barcelona in the same game in the quarters. They want them playing two separate games. Same in Italy, they don't want Milan versus Milan. They want them in four games so they can put four different TV shows on. That's the only reason this exists. And that's why I don't think they would do it, because it's all about the money. Every road leads back to someone getting rich, and someone's getting richer by having this rule in place.
Yeah, let's be honest. It's the top teams that it protects, because You know, Bayern Munich probably wouldn't care if they got Dortmund. Not ideal, but they'd probably beat them over two legs.
I would be happy with getting English teams who came second. I mean, if we'd got Chelsea, it wouldn't have been ideal.
But you'd fancy, exactly, yeah.
It's a Champions League. You've got to win that trophy. You've got to beat the best teams. Yeah.
But if the reality is, as well, is with a lot of countries, if Sporting Lisbon got Benfica, I don't know if that would have worked this time around, but let's just hypothetically say it would have, right? Mm. That's an amazing tie for that country. Their TV is going to be massive. People would watch that because PSG versus Real, which I'm sure we're going to cover in a moment, is a big tie. Mm. But really, out of the other ones, are you really unsure about who's going to win? There might be a bit of an underdog win. Some will come out with a surprise. I don't know where Ajax might get beat. But realistically, you could probably go through seven of those ties and go, they're going to win, they're going to win, they're going to win, they're going to win. All right, you'll pick United and Atleti and go flip a coin, yeah, and probably PSG and Real. But the ties aren't really that glamorous. When you get the big ones like your PSGs and your Real, everyone's fuming, or your Man using your PSGs, it actually does something to the last 16. It actually makes it worth watching. So if you could have an AC Milan versus Inter Milan last 16, number one, it gives Italy a chance to actually make a quarter final, which they might not do for a while. And secondly, it makes a game worth watching.
I agree. Like if Chelsea, for example, could have got Liverpool, if there was an opportunity to get Liverpool, City or United, like I get the money revenue thing and they're having separate games, but BT would make a fortune off that game being on their channel. You think, because the whole country would be watching it, wouldn't they, down at the same time?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, there'd be interest from across the board, wouldn't there? It's interesting to know, I'm not a massive fan of playing English clubs, but I think I'd rather play them in the early rounds, i.e. the 16 and the final, because obviously when we had Spurs in the final, there was every bone in my body just hated that. We were miles better than they were, of course we were, and we should have won, but it was an English club, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So if we ended up, it might give us an opportunity, if this rule was scrapped, to knock them out earlier, to get them in the final, because if we ever play City or someone like that in the final, or United, could you imagine United in Champions League final? I couldn't think of anything worse.
Yeah. I want to go back then, guys, and We've had a super chat in, by the way, from Trig Josh, £5 super chat. Cheers, Trig Josh, who says, going back to the Mo Salah conversation that we were on earlier, he said, Salah's upcoming performance at the AFCON and his ongoing contract negotiations, there may be a flurry of bids coming in for other clubs for Mo Salah. I think we spoke about this on last week's podcast. The bids are coming this summer if they don't get it sorted.
Oh, yeah.
So Liverpool, I think we're all in agreement there. Yeah, you're right, mate. Liverpool definitely need to get that sorted before that. Let's move on then. I want to talk about like the right draw, wrong draw, because I was talking about like, who's happy with the redraw, like the team they got. Like, for example, like Liverpool got a harder draw second time round than they did first time. Like,
yeah.
So Inter Milan are better than RB Salzburg. But there was a few others. So first of all, I want to look at this this wrong draw. I'm going to highlight PSG there, who had Man United first, and then they end up down here having to play Real Madrid. So they're fuming. PSG are fuming. Real Madrid are absolutely livid because they got Benfica. They wanted that tie to stand.
Yeah.
To go from Benfica to PSG.
It should have, by the way, as well.
You think,
harsh what they did. Yeah, should have just countered back to where it went wrong.
Yeah, I agree. But they said like they couldn't confirm that like the computer worked, right? There's a very simple way to do that, lads. Go back on the camera because millions, and just see, just watch the video. Did that fella have the right balls in that pot? If he did, I agree. I think he should have stood. I think Real Madrid have been diddled there. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in Florentino's office there, Dan, because they're probably the team who are thinking, our draw was, we think it was right. We think every ball was in the right place at that point. Like, we don't think nothing went wrong because it couldn't have, because they literally could have played pretty much everyone other than the team in their group and the Spanish. They must be absolutely livid about this.
Oh yeah, they've been hardest done by far, haven't they? Let's be honest. And he's not exactly outspoken the best of times, is he, Perez? They're obviously the main protagonist behind the Super League as well, so it's quite ironic how it's sort of come back around with UEFA. And I think Real Madrid were sort of saying, when the whole will it be redrawn, won't it be redrawn thing was going on, Real Madrid were quite adamant that it wouldn't be, and I think there's quite a lot of reports coming out saying they've told UEFA they're quite happy, which I imagine they would have been, you know what I mean? So yeah, for them to go away from Benfica and get PSG is a real kick in the teeth. I had fears of that happening to Liverpool, to be honest with you.
It nearly did, didn't it?
Yeah,
it
I thought, when PSG were left in, I thought, here we go. This is but obviously Real Madrid, and that's a serious contest now for them, that.
I mean, it's not half. I suppose you're the ones who are quite happy. So Bayern Munich go from having Atletico Madrid, Sam, to getting RB Salzburg again. They'll be happy with that one. And then poor Lille. They must have been like...
buzzing.
Oh, we get a redraw. We don't Chelsea. We don't have to go and play Chelsea. And then Chelsea come back out again. They must be like, what are the odds that poor Lille?
They finished top of the group. That's harsh. Chelsea, if they sort the defence out, one of the worst teams to get over two legs, wouldn't it? To play against that back five, six, whatever you want to call it. over two legs when you're not, let's be honest, Lille, what, mid-table this year?
Struggling. Yeah,
they're not going to do nothing there.
Man City somehow went from having Sporting Lisbon, sorry, from Villarreal to Sporting Lisbon. Man City and cup draws. That's a harder game, you know. Sporting are better than Villarreal.
Yeah, slightly harder.
They're still happy with what they got, but Villarreal are rubbish. Like, rubbish.
Yeah. Dan Juma is decent, though, isn't he? I like him.
He's got good. Sporting the Portuguese champions, rather play the Portuguese champions than the 13th best team in Villa in Spain. Like, I think you'd rather play them. I was thinking before, it was Atletico Madrid who were really, really pushing for this, by all accounts. Yeah. And rightly so, by the way, because they got put into a draw where there was one less team in it. It was them and Man United. And as it stands, the reason that we'd done the redraw, Sam, was because it was physically impossible with the ball situation for Atletico to get Man United. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? They put the ball in the right pot and lo and behold, we've got Atletico versus Man United. It feels to me like Atletico, we're quite happy we put the push on there because we were almost going to the Allianz and now we're going down to Old Trafford. Atletico, the main protagonist of getting the redraw done, thrilled, absolutely thrilled with this one.
Bayern Munich probably looked at Chelsea and thought, we're probably better than them, but they're the team that we don't want to get out of everyone because Juve are not the same side. Oh no, they won the group anyway. Inter not the same side, etc., etc. So, but Atletico have just got something about them, haven't they? So they'll be made up with that. But Atleti versus Man United is a really, really interesting tie because bear in mind it's 2 months away. So Ralph Rangnick, he's going to have his teeth in by then, isn't he? And have a shape about them. Whatever they're going to be, they're going to be by then, aren't they? So they'll be happier. I don't know. Am I happier?
No. I think you'd rather play. Man U will be happier.
PSG rather than they originally.
I think they would rather play Madrid than PSG. Because it's two different
types of challenges.
I know Man United went to Paris, didn't they, Dan, and beat them a couple of seasons ago, but like PSG. I think I would, having played Atletico this season, they aren't the Atletico that they were even when we played them last year or the year before or whatever. I think United will be quite happy that they got their redraw as well.
I think so, yeah. And I think the important thing to notice is they're not the Atletico they had been previously, but with it being 2 months, if Simeone can get them back in check and get them anywhere near what they were, that's a really difficult tie. And it's a very different one for United because they'd have been thinking about PSG for that 2 hours whereby that existed and thinking, God, they can just tear you apart with Messi, Neymar and Mbappe, obviously. But now Atletico, they're a very different proposition. They're quite stout. They're quite defensively sound. They can be difficult to break down. So a lot of that depends, in my opinion, and I wouldn't like to call it now, but where them two clubs are at come February.
And I suppose, one thing to say, Dan, and we've got two people in the chat saying that Perry and Jeremiah both say, like, Ronaldo owns Atletico Madrid.
He does.
He scores against them a lot of times. Like, he does. He's one of those clubs where, like, he always seems to score. We've got them at, we've got Sadio Mane, who does that to Crystal Palace. Like, every time he plays them, he scores. Cristiano's record against Atleti's pretty special. What UEFA have been robbed of, if they really wanted it, is the Messi Ronaldo, it just writes itself. That one, they've cost themselves that by being incompetent because they very nearly had that. So there's another one who's probably good to the UEFA for a few, and that they haven't got that one, are they?
Yeah, massively. I mean, it's probably not a bad thing though because I don't think it would have lived up to its expectation, if that makes sense. Like, I think because just looking at PSG for a second, if their two games against Man City was a tie, PSG go through. 2-0 and they lose 2-1. People forget that. Oh, PSG are crap now on the radio. It's like, mate, they lost 2-1 and they won 2-0. Like, translate that to a tie. I know it doesn't always work that way, but they're a side. Do you know what I mean? And I actually think that, although the two different challenges, where I agree with you both is PSG would have wiped the floor with United home and away, I think. But with the Atletico thing, if you look at the game at Anfield, they had no Griezmann and a load of injuries. The game at their place, that was a tense game until Griezmann got sent off. Man U going to the Wanda under that atmosphere is serious test. As Maguire got the bollocks to hold up to that, I'm not sure, you know. Like, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, you know, not the greatest on the ball. All that, you know, noise coming at him. It's a big test that, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really good game. I suppose the last one I want to speak about then is, so Inter Milan, Dan, let's put it on the point of view. Listen, they had Ajax, who won every group game. It's worth mentioning, by the way, like, they go from unbeaten Ajax and then they get Liverpool. I'm guessing, again, both really good teams, by the way, and they both, again, it's mad that we've had three unbeaten teams in the Champions League, by the way. As much as a song and dance was made about us, two others did it. Ajax did it and Bayern did it. Inter have gone from one unbeaten side to the other. And I know we're thinking, oh, we've got a harder draw there, but Inter Milan must be fuming. Like, and again, that is no disrespect to Ajax. I think that is just praise for Liverpool. They've gone from playing a very, very good team to like one of the best teams in the world now. They must be fuming about this as well.
They'll be livid. And I think I've seen some instant reaction from some Italian journos yesterday, and they were livid. Like, when you do translate tweet on that, it was just, why has this happened? Like, and we are so potent in this Champions League because we just score goals from all over the place. Obviously, we spoke about Salah. He's lethal anywhere. But when you look at the Italian league, obviously we played AC Milan the other week and we spoke about it here last week in terms of I expected a hell of a lot more from them. They were top of Serie A at the time. Inter Milan have just gone top by a point. But if it's that tight between them two and our B team basically wiped the floor with them in the San Siro.
In a must-win game.
You've got, yeah. They had to come and play, didn't they, AC? And they didn't. And if them two are neck and neck, listen, Inter Milan have got threats. They've got Martinez, they've got Dzeko, they've got Alexis Sanchez. We all know what he used to be. But right now, God, Inter Milan would be gutted to have us.
I suppose though, Sam, like, do you think, my thing was with this, with the whole redraw thing, I think they had to redraw it, by the way. I don't think there's any, given the fact given the fact that it was literally not a team in the pot, they had to do it. I get it. But it just, like, do you think it undermines the competition going forward now? Because there'll be fans of every other team having this conversation. Oh, we nearly had them. Now we've got them. Now we've got him. Now we've got them. It's just another thing. Like, it hasn't been a great weekend for sport in terms of, in terms of getting people talking about it. But in terms of, like, the action away from the field or the racetrack, as it was with the Formula One, like, dictating what the narrative is. Like, it's a bad look for UEFA. They just wanted the footy on the pitch. Like, your last thing you need is a fuck-up of fellas not being able to pull the right ball out of the right pot. It just looks bad.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the F1 crazy. Started before that, by the way, actually. John Moss seems to think people have got hands now. It must be Salah's muscles there have now been refereed. There's a hand out there.
But anyway, John Moss hasn't got muscles there.
And his mate in the VAR, Jesus Christ. But yeah, coming back to the draw. I actually think, barring what we said before with the count back draw where they go back to the Real Madrid, because I think they were right, they should have.
Yeah.
Nothing was wrong at that point. But apart from that, I actually think UEFA saved themselves a little bit, because imagine they just upheld that draw. Yeah. That would have been insane. It would have been chaos. It would have ruined the whole Champions
League. It would have been legal.
All kinds of chaos. But what it does do is it also exposes those few clubs that are shithouses, really, who are like sort of... If anyone complains now, the mentality that sets for your club is like, well, you're weak, you're not up for this challenge.
Like, Atleti, you didn't fancy Bayern.
Oh, yeah. That, it's there now, isn't it, for all to see?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, Klopp's like, Inter Milan, proper tie, get to go back to San Siro. Some of the players are probably like that. Van Dijk, ooh, didn't get to go there. Yeah. Henderson, brilliant. So there's that positive side of it. And I think if you go front foot with it, man, you go, you know what, bring on Atleti, we can beat them. If Atleti go, yeah, we'll take United now. Obviously, Bayern's a different proposition, but I think it adds to it. I think UEFA have saved themselves personally. Like, that could have been a lot worse.
If the shoe was on the other foot and it was Liverpool who got a really tough draw, do you think we'd have complained like they did? I've got a feeling they probably would have. Like, if it turned out, say, for example, it was Liverpool who got drew against PSG, and it turned out that because they were on, some, like, for example, I don't know, Man United weren't in the pot at the same time, when we would have, I'm guessing Liverpool would have had a word as well, then that's the flip side, isn't it? Because, and I don't think it's a weakness thing. I think it's more like an integrity of the competition. Like, the fact is, I always talk about a couple of years ago, the Champions League, 2 years ago, when they had that little mini tournament in Lisbon, just as COVID hit. Like, I think that delegitimised that Champions League. I know it was Bayern who went and won it, wasn't it, at the time, beating PSG. But like, no games over two legs, neutral venues. It went a bit strange. Like, it would have really, it would have damaged us. But he had to do it. So it's one of those where I agree with what you're saying. I don't think Atleti looked particularly great about it. I'm just quite happy it wasn't us who had to go and throw the moan in, because it didn't really affect us too much.
No, it didn't, and it wasn't a great look for Atleti, like you say, because it does kind of put you in positions where you think you are in the pecking order. Because if Atleti don't think they can go to Bayern Munich and get anything, then their hopes of this Champions League aren't great, are they? Let's be honest about it, you know. And a similar case for United, they obviously won the fancy PSG much, but from an integrity point of view and from what's right point of view, if Liverpool had got PSG, I'd have wanted us to kick up a stink, because it wasn't right, was it? I fancy us, had we have got it, I would have fancied us to get something at PSG and beat them, you know what I mean? Because we are a better side than they are. But at the same time, it was pretty evident to see that draw had been made a complete
Man U got diddled. I don't think they went in like no pots for like 5 minutes until they realised.
All of a sudden they were back in. It was weird.
Do you know what? I reckon PSG would have complained before we did. Yeah, possibly, yeah. Because yeah, they would have been like, yeah, not that they're scared of us, but it's like, hang on a minute. Wow. Like, yeah, if it was City or Liverpool, either yeah, one, I think they would have been like, no.
They'd rather get United, wouldn't they? Yeah, obviously, yeah, which yeah, says yeah, a lot yeah, about United as well.
By the way, yeah, absolutely does. Do you think this happened before? We just haven't noticed this, Sam. Like, because the only reason this got flagged was because he pulled Man United out of the Villarreal one, mm-hmm, and that cocked the whole computer system up. Like, if for example, on that Villarreal ball, if they'd have pulled out any other team, so for example, now they got Juve. If Juve would have just come out that pot, and we'd never have known that Man City, I think it was weighing in there. Or yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it must have, mustn't it? Like, if it's happened once, they've got a little bit unlucky in the fact that they've been caught doing it almost. But the odds are, if they can cock it up once, it might have happened before. They just got a little bit unlucky with it.
I don't know. I mean, because there would have always been one club who would have been felt hard done by. Because there's no draw there. Because a team like, say, Sporting or Lille, well, Lille wouldn't have been there, Sporting or Atletico, they were always, one of them was always going to get a tough tie. So if there was any illegitimacy to it, they're going to flag it up, aren't they? Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, from my previous memories of watching these draws, it's always been Liverpool, they can get, da da da, and they can't get Villarreal. Mm. They usually explain it because that would leave only that. They usually explain it, whereas this time they didn't, did they? Yeah. And then that's why it caused the confusion, what you were talking about before, Dan.
So
I think, I actually don't think it has. I think this is a bit of a one-off. Why don't they just use a computer? Stick the algorithmic rules in like they do with the fixtures and go bang, and it'll just spit out the results.
Oh, the flip side is, you just, like what you mentioned before, it's just open draw it. And I'm going to leave the part and comments on this draw then to one Mr. Michael Owen.
Oh,
did you hear what Michael Owen's, yeah, Michael Owen's comment of this? I'm going to drag them up now. It was vintage Michael, really. And it was literally along the lines of, some teams will be happy with the draw, some won't, unless they got the same team again. He was just absolutely, he's an absolute.
I think it's brilliant, you know. I take it for what he is now. He's just funnily boring.
And he owns it. I suppose, though, even he was, you mentioned about the confusion there, didn't you, Dan? Like, it was a bit confusing. Like, they never explained why Liverpool couldn't get Villarreal. I was on the live show and people were just in the chat going, what's going on? Why can't we get them? They could have done a better job of explaining it. Like, the fella who fake Claudio Ranieri fella could have just said, listen, there's a reason why, even though Liverpool can be playing Villarreal, they actually can't now because the fact that they didn't explain it, it did them no favours there at the end.
Not at all, no, especially given what had gone before. I think it just added to confusion because we were all sat there almost waiting for another cock-up and thinking on any little thing. And when that happened, and I thought, how come we can't get Villarreal, in my head? Because no one has said a word as to why. Obviously, we're not from the same country. We weren't in our group. And I was thinking, there's no legitimate reason. Because without knowing who was left in the pot to be drawn out, like off the top of your head, like I say, you were knackered. And when we didn't get them and couldn't get them, there was uproar on Twitter and obviously on your comments as well.
Yeah, I want to make sure I get this Michael Owen quote exactly right. It was, everyone's going to have a better or worse draw unless you draw the same team. He's not wrong.
No, he's not.
Factually correct. Yeah.
The team who wins this game will be the team who scores the most goals. He's literally, he has said that before in the past.
Yeah.
When you're a striker, you have a shot. You either score or you miss. Thanks, Michael.
You must just look at him and be like,
yeah. Nice one.
You've really, Michael. You've added some great mirth to this in-depth discussion of this fiasco draw. So yeah, props to Michael Owen. So I'm gonna get, we've done this on our React show, me and Chris and Paul, but I'm gonna ask you guys this, like who you think's gonna go through from each tie.
Okay.
I'll start with the big one. PSG versus Real Madrid.
I think PSG are gonna win it this year.
So you think PSG, obviously then Bayern are gonna beat Salzburg. So
I think PSG will get past that one. Yeah, I do.
Bayern against RB. We're all going for Bayern.
Bayern, yeah.
We're all picking City to beat Sporting.
Yeah.
Benfica, Ajax.
Ajax.
Chelsea are going to beat Lille.
Yeah.
Atletico v Man United. Sam.
Atletico.
Atletico for me as well.
Yeah, I agree. Villarreal, Juventus.
Juve.
That's the shock for me. Villarreal get through that.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. And then we're back in Liverpool.
Yeah.
So you mentioned before, I don't think there's other than that top tie, and this is the de facto moment of how the draw works, they're all very one-sided games. There's PSG and Real Madrid isn't big teams. Atletico Man United isn't, but that's more in a fallen giants battling to get back kind of thing. Everyone else has got a clear thing, and I suppose that's what you're going to get when you have these type of draws. But the flip side is, I think you should be rewarded for winning your group. But that's
what we want to see as well, Steve, is we want to see like last year's last eight, was a bit flawed, wasn't it? And it happened to us before when we got Porto in the quarters, didn't we? When we won it,
Yeah.
And it happened to Chelsea last year. They got Porto, and they of all the countries for them to get a Portuguese team, who took us, it was two neutral venues. It was like easy. So like that's the thing that might not happen this year. If
there should be some big teams in the last.
If Ajax are as good as they've looked, and I know they got beat at the weekend in the league. I looked at that, so they're actually not top at the minute. PSV are, so that could be an indicator of where they're at. But let's just say, for instance, Ajax are as good as we think they are, and if everybody we expect gets through, so let's say you were wrong and you kick on and get through, it means the last eight's going to be tasty.
Given that it could be PSG, Bayern, City, Ajax, Chelsea, Juve, Liverpool. Atletico Madrid,
or like, even United, they're still a big glamorous name.
That's what you want them in the last night. That's what you want it to look like in many ways.
You haven't got that draw where, like, I don't know, if
City get
if Lille, with all due respect to Lille, got Villarreal and one of them's in the quarters, and then all of a sudden, like,
you'd want the winner next, though, wouldn't you?
Everyone wants that draw. Everyone wants Andre Ajax having in that draw. Just
Ajax is the only one there. If they do go through, you look at and go, Of course they are.
So guys, thanks very much. Going back to a few of the comments, just to let us know, like, Winnerpool says Michael Owen was kind of right. he definitely was. And then going back to the draw as well, so I thought this was an interesting one. So, and Pip Jim says, you know, Man United, every right to complain. Like, we don't think their name was in the hat until literally the PSG thing. So if we're going back, like, yeah, they were absolutely spot on. I'm going to leave that one there then, guys. Thanks very much. We're going to come back to talk about the Jude Bellingham links to Liverpool. They came out about a couple of days after we recorded last week's podcast, so I wanted to touch on that and get the guys' opinion. But first, if you guys are looking for a Christmas gift for yourself or for somebody you know and love, why not give them the gift of Red Men Plus? Why not? And to find out that we are now selling our gift cards over on our website, for more information, I'm going to hand over to a slightly less handsome man than the guy before.
Hey, what's happening? This Christmas, give the gift of incredible Liverpool content, documentaries, features, interviews, podcasts, and pre- and post-game analysis for all Liverpool's games this season with our three-month gift card subscription to Red Men Plus. The cards are available right now on redmenmerch.com and will give you full access to every piece of content we make on a weekly basis and hundreds of hours of content available in our back catalogue, including the Hendo 10 documentary series, exploring the derelict Melwood, and instant match reactions and final words after every Liverpool Football Club game. Get involved now. Those gift cards are available on redmenmerch.com and give the gift of happiness and Liverpool Football Club this Christmas.
So there you go. Like I say, if you want to get involved with Red Men Plus and all of the great content that we've got to create over the next couple of months as Liverpool hopefully push towards a famous quadruple, and everything we've ever done, including our back catalogue of documentaries, features, interviews, some class stuff on there, get that card rather, you go to scratch the code off, put it in the website when you sign up, and you've got it all there at your fingertips for your viewing and or listening delight. Every show that we produce pretty much is in video and podcast form, so you've got no reason to miss any of those. As we do next year's shows then on Red Men Plus, Sam, is if the Daily Mirror are to be believed, there's a chance that Jude Bellingham could be one of the topics of conversation. I imagine his name's going to crop up a lot between now and the summer. So an article on December 7th, like I say, it was literally this time, it was last week, long after we recorded the podcast, his name come up from James Nersey of The Mirror, who said Liverpool lead the race to sign Jude Bellingham next summer and hope to exploit Premier League rivals' obsession with his teammate Erling Haaland. Bellingham was being previously courted by United before he moved to Dortmund, but Liverpool are making plans to bring the teenage midfielder back to the UK after his mature displays for Dortmund and England, who have capped him 10 times. Top flight rivals like United, Chelsea and City are all monitoring his mate, Erling Haaland, who's got a release clause, which might basically let Liverpool sneak around the back. It says Jürgen Klopp has identified Bellingham, who's 18, to bolster the midfield ranks, where his main options include Henderson and Fabinho. And then this is the important one. German coach Klopp has not been put off by Bellingham's price tag, which is with his old club likely to be asking for £90 million, making him our most expensive player of all time, if that deal happened. And so, again, James Nersey, The Mirror, it looks like he knows what he's on about. He's a pretty reliable source. I don't know where he's getting this information from here. But can we see Jude Bellingham signing for Liverpool next summer? And if so, can you see Liverpool paying £90 million for a teenager?
The thing is, there's multiple layers to this. So if you look at Jude Bellingham to begin with, as a person, could have signed for Liverpool, I believe one of the London clubs, and Manchester United, chose to take his own journey at, 17 to go and live in, you know, Dortmund and play for them. And what a decision that was. You know, Sancho did it, although he was already at City via Watford. So that in itself shows that he's making decisions based on football to make the right steps in his career. I think then you look beyond that, he doesn't look to me as the type of person who's going to chase the money. Like Sancho, whichever way you look at it, in the end, no one else had a chance to sign him because of the money. Yeah. We know that. We've spoken about it before, haven't we? So I don't think Bellingham would make that mistake. I think he would make a step next based on his career.
Yeah.
And looking at that, I don't think Liverpool, if there's anybody else better suited in England to sign for Liverpool. And Jurgen Klopp, Pep's going to leave before Klopp. At the latest, he's leaving at the end of next summer. He's already said that. Chelsea's probably going to have 3 new managers by then. United will definitely have at least 1 new manager by then.
Yeah.
So right now, if you're starting to make steps to move to a new club in England, surely Liverpool, and looking at our midfield craziness, Liverpool's the right club for you.
Yeah, I suppose. And what confused me a little bit about that story is that if Dortmund can't stop Haaland leaving this summer, he's got the release clause. It's 75 million quid, euros, around that mark, which is a relative bargain. And I say that knowing exactly how stupid that sounds, but £75 million being a bargain for anything, but for Erling Haaland, it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the wages and the sign-on fee are going to be crazy, extortionate. Yeah. But if Dortmund are resigned, they're going to lose him, can they afford to go twice? Can they afford, having just lost Sancho? And I know that's their model, by the way, this is how they exist as a football club. They bring these players through, young lads, get them from other clubs or whatever, and then just rinse the backside of other big clubs who weren't clever enough to do it in the first place, or whatever, you know, or weren't going to give them the game time. So they've all got, like Sancho and Bellingham did, they thought we'll go and play over there and get our moves. Like, can you see Dortmund letting both of those two go in the same summer?
You'd have to say no more generally, but because it's Dortmund, I think it was any other football club in Europe, you'd probably just stick to that hard no. But you mentioned Dortmund's model there. That is what they do, and they do it really well. So there's probably no reason why not. They have a price. They had a price for Sancho. United got near to it. Off he went. Haaland, obviously, release clause. That's slightly different. They've probably got a price for Bellingham. If we meet it, if anyone else meets it, they'll probably say yes to it, because all they do then is they signed Daniel Marlin last season. Yeah. They probably won't do the same with him. They're after Adeyemi now from Salzburg. They're probably going to do the same again. So they'll just look at it like a business transaction. From a football perspective, you'd never want to lose Haaland and Bellingham in the same summer. It'd be absolutely disastrous. But the way they run their club, they probably will do it, and they probably would be open to it.
The £90 million thing, look, Sam, that's what, again, I'm all for it, by the way, and I'm going to read some comments out in a minute. We've got people like it. In fact, I'll do it now. So, Abina says 100% worth the money. He's only 18, and we'll definitely get our money's worth. 100% right. I'd agree with that. Winnerpool says 100%. He acts, plays, and thinks like a 26-year-old. He's a super talent with a great character. And then also, he mentions that he could have a good song. Like, Hey Jude writes itself for the cop.
It writes
itself for the cop. Like, can you see Liverpool like spending £90 million on a teenager? Like, given that, like, FSG and the model and sell to buy or whatever we call it. Like, do you think there is £90 million there for them to go and sign this teenage wonder kid?
I think there would be. I mean, let's be honest, we're not going to not sell players, are we, from our squad, you know, without going too deep into it. Probably a midfielder goes.
Ox will go. Yeah, Phillips might go.
Probably Origi, maybe even Origi.
Klopp is desperate to get rid of it. Like, in the nicest possible way, he keeps saying, someone buy this man, he's really good. He keeps saying.
Well, this is what I mean, but he also might be aware of the fact that, you know, we do need to raise funds because that's what he wants to do. And you know, I'm sure this year with there being fans back in stadiums, and we've done quite well with our shirts by the sounds of it, etc. The Champions League, we just earned a lot of money.
Funds as well.
All of that helps, you know what I mean? That few extra million quid installments. If the Liverpool have proven before, if the right deals to be done, both in and out, we'll do it. I mean, listen, you may see us sell someone like Sadio Mane to fund it, and then buy Harvey Barnes to replace Mane. You know, it might be some sort of strange collection of things that happen. It might not necessarily be a case of, right, we'll sell him and we'll buy Jude. It might be a case of, yeah, we'll lose one big name, but we'll replace him, and then we'll sign another big name for the midfield. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So but he's a Liverpool fan. He's under Henderson's mentorship. Gerrard's his hero. Jesus, Liverpool. If there's anyone else out there calling, it's like a beacon from space coming, come and get me, Liverpool. SOS.
it does feel like, but then we all thought Jadon Sancho was sending those signals, unless we got Man United went and got him. And Fortin Brass, I think I says, it says Dortmund only sold one player in a big season in the last few years. I can't see Bellingham moving this summer. It's like Sancho. They're well prepared to hold on to him. And I think that's a key thing, isn't it? Like, you're dealing here, Dan. like we all call Mike Edwards the master negotiator. Now, by the time this happens, probably he wouldn't be in charge. I'm guessing he would be involved with it now. If it was happening, there's talks happening now. Yeah. But like, if you're talking about Max then in terms of selling players, Edwards is good at it. Dortmund are really good at it. Like they literally say, no, like it's, you can have him, but you can have whoever you want, but here's the money and we're not going less. And Man United tried every single trick in the book to get Sancho for less and less and less. And he was like, no, you just stuff him. Like, you can have him. I promise you he's yours. There's the fee. Like that's what it would be. Like, you're not going to get Jude Bellingham on a discount off Dortmund because there's no reason for them to give any discount to us.
No, and you've got to admire him for that because yep. That's the way we've liked Edwards running our ship. You know what I mean? We've generated some serious funds off some bang average players under Michael Edwards, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, Dortmund are right to hold out for the money, and that's all they did with Sancho. They just held out for their price. And what's like I say, as soon as United got close to it, off he went. And I do think it'd be the same with Bellingham because they don't necessarily want to get rid of Haaland, but because that release clause exists, they have no choice, let's be honest about it. But the Bellingham situation, because it's so business-orientated there, the way they run things, they will have a price, and if we meet it, I'm certain he'll go. Forget about selling two or one big player in the summer. If that price is met,
if it's 90 million,
it'll matter.
They'd
have
sold Sancho the year before, wouldn't they? But Manu didn't want to pay the money.
And I think from our point of view, just to say, I think the 90 million, yeah, it's a lot of money and it breaks our transfer record, etc. But you're talking 15 years of service there from a top player. If you keep him that entire time, obviously. And if not, you're selling for something similar, let's be honest about it. So in my opinion, like everything Sam mentions, it's a no-brainer.
Would you be happy then, Sam? Because if Liverpool spent £90 million on Jude Bellingham next summer, I don't much else happens in terms of innings. But you're talking about sales. Listen, my guess is, by the way, in this hypothetical, Mohamed Salah stays.
Yeah.
If he stays, and we mentioned a couple of fringe players there. So you mentioned Chamberlain. Phillips is looking for a move. He could even go in January if his face heals.
Pierce said that yesterday he's probably going to go in January.
If his face gets better before then, after Nutton's last hand and then Cruyff turning him or whatever. There's a Keita story.
Nico Williams will probably head out with him.
Potential Origi. Yeah. Would you be happy if Liverpool's right? We're going to sell a couple of fringe lads, and the only signing we're making this year, we're going to go massive on Jude Bellingham. How would you feel about that? Like from a squad point of view, squad makeup point of view, because numbers now sometimes looks a bit light. Like I can't see them spending 90 on him and then bringing another two or three in as well.
No, I think to be honest with you, one of the things Klopp's done throughout his career is he's always wanted to produce his home players. So Trent was one of them. Curtis is the next one. Harvey Elliott's coming through that system as well. KD Gordon's clearly got a bit of a light shined on him. Mm-hmm. And now Tyler Morton's come out of nowhere. And, you know, I've probably missed a few along. Nico Williams has kind of popped in out of nowhere. So what Klopp enjoys doing is producing his own talent. Whether we sell them or not is another thing. So that will always be in his mind. So it may be a case of, oh, well, if we sell Keita and Ox, we need two more. Well, no, because Klopp might think, well, hang on, Tyler Morton is going to be one of them. In the next couple of years. Yeah. So you've got to keep that in mind when we're talking about Jürgen Klopp and our model here. But we're also at the stage as a football team where you bring in, you do the Ferguson thing, you're bringing in one top player to just add that few percent. If you start bringing in a couple of okay players, you're not really adding, you know, a Minamino and a, I don't know who else will be signing, because he's not really, that, you know, as Minamino and Tsimikas upped our percentage any higher, Tsimikas added a bit of depth, Minamino not really. So bring in one that's going to go, definitely, we're going to improve that area of the team indefinitely.
Who you mentioned this though, because Liverpool, we've been saying that before, to wrap this up, then Liverpool's best midfield at the moment is Fabinho, Thiago, Henderson.
Yeah.
Like Jude Bellingham was coming to play. He spent £90 million on the kid, he's coming, he's taking someone's spot. Like, is it, are we,
yeah.
No, are we at a point where, like, you know, the apprentice starts overtaking the master? Because he's a big Jordan Henderson fan, he's admitted this. It could be, again, you can rotate him because there's so many games. They'll all play enough. Mm-hmm. But at some point, like, your best team's got to be on the pitch. And when Jürgen's picking his best team, if his £90 million player isn't in his best team, then I'm guessing there's people above him going, hang on a minute, like, we give you £90 million, but this kid's got to be playing. That's the only dynamic where it creates anything like, not controversy, but a bit of an issue, is that he's probably going to have to replace the captain or Thiago like that. And that's a big ask for a kid to come in and do that. Puts a lot of pressure. The price tag puts pressure on him, and the fact that he's coming in to replace either the captain of the football club or a serial winner in Thiago. I mean, that's a bit of an issue for the kid if he can deal with it.
It's a massive ask of him, and it's a big pressure in terms of team selection. Of course it is, because we're sat here right now talking about that midfield, and I think it's superb, that midfield three, I really do. So when you think about Bellingham maybe getting into it, it's a really difficult thing to say. But what I will say is both Thiago and Henderson, as good as they still are both over 30, so we do need to think about the succession plan to that, and if Bellingham would be absolutely perfect. And obviously James Milner's gone to retire at some point, maybe in 2030 or something like that. Yeah, but we've got to start thinking that way. And we mentioned all the youngsters we've got there. We could all of a sudden have this core of absolute quality kids, teenagers, Harvey Elliott, Kay Gordon. We're suddenly set in good stead. And Klopp's always spoke about leaving a legacy when he leaves Liverpool. Now, if we can bring Bellingham into the kids we've already got, that legacy's there already, in my opinion. So it is a big call. I think Bellingham's got what it has, what it takes to do that. And I think he'd be okay with it. And in terms of not selecting him all the time, Klopp's got credit in the bank to do that, in my opinion.
Yeah, he definitely has. He looks like he's going to be the next Wales superstar. And fingers crossed that we see him one day performing in a red shirt. I would be very, very happy if it was next year. Right, guys, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for coming in and joining us today. Thank you guys for watching and or listening wherever you are. If you're watching on the YouTube, do us a favour, give us a little like, sign up and subscribe to the YouTube as well, rather. It does really help us. If you click the little notification bell, you'll get a little alert every time we go live with one of our shows on YouTube, of which there are plenty. Right, coming up this week then, obviously, in literally about half an hour's time, we've got the build-up to the Newcastle game over on YouTube. Over on Red Men Plus, we've got our opposition preview that's coming out today. I'm going to be talking to Lee Ryder of The Chronicle. We've got tons on there. Obviously, after the Newcastle game, we have the final word and the instant match reaction as well. If you guys want to watch and or listen to those, do head on over to Red Men Plus. And like I say, if you sign up as a club legend, your name will be in the hat to win one of our amazing prizes every single day between now and December. In fact, we're doing the next draw on the Umbu for the Newcastle game on the build-up show. We are giving away the Kenny Dalglish mug, you know, the Ferguson Kenny Dalglish goals.
Yeah.
So if you want to be in the hat, you've got about half an hour to go and sign up to make sure you're in the hat. I say in the hat, it's actually on an electronic wheel, but it's fine. Guys, thanks so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you guys for watching all this in our home, and we'll see you all soon. Ta-da.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.